This is the Ontario Family Law Podcast, featuring issues related to marriage, separation, divorce, child welfare, and also some children's rights issues. It's a companion to the book, A Guide to the Basics of Ontario Family Law, which is available on Amazon, Kobo, and in the iBookstore, or by calling 416-446-5847. My name is John Schumann. I'm a certified specialist in family law, and I am a family lawyer, mediator, arbitrator, and collaborative lawyer, and I am the partner leading the family law group at Devery Smith Frank LLP. This episode of the podcast focuses on critical information about domestic violence. Domestic violence is a topic about which family law lawyers are familiar because that violence can be the cause or the result of a breakup in a relationship. When it occurs, it can profoundly affect all the members of the family, all the adults, and the children. This edition of the podcast is not a thesis on the phenomena of domestic violence. Rather, it is going to focus on the critical things that people who have violence in their relationship must know. We are going to discuss getting help, response by authorities, restraining orders, family mediation where there is domestic violence, and how to get help from a family lawyer, even if your partner is controlling all the money. If you are in immediate danger, then you need to call the police. 911 works throughout Ontario. There are no alternatives. If you are worried for your safety but not in immediate danger, then you need to discuss a safety plan with either a family lawyer who could help you make other plans in relation to your separation as well, or you need to plan it with the police. Many police departments have either threat assessment units or community liaison officers who are trained in assisting with domestic violence. However, many police departments will not assist with creating safety plans for adult males on the basis that they usually have other resources and options available to ensure their safety. Good family lawyers will assist with communicating with the police where necessary. If there are children in the relationship, then any report of domestic violence to the police will also result in a response by the local Children's Aid Society. This is because even witnessing domestic violence can really harm children. Exposing children to conflict between their parents can also really hurt them. The Children's Aid Society will not only want to ensure that the children are not being physically harmed by domestic violence, but also that they are not being emotionally harmed. Children's Aid Societies are likely to offer a lot of services to women and children who have been involved with domestic violence. They are much less likely to assist adult men who should be able to protect their children without assistance. Parents and children have lots of rights when it comes to Children's Aid Societies. It is important to speak to a lawyer who does child protection law if a Children's Aid Society wants to intervene with your family. That lawyer will be able to both ensure you get the services you need and assist with keeping the Children's Aid Society from taking unnecessary, harsh, or invasive steps in relation to either the parents or the children, which can include placing the children in foster care. One way to ensure that you and your children are adequately protected is through getting a restraining order. Please welcome lawyer Sarah Falzon to the podcast to explain restraining orders.
What is a restraining order? This probably isn't really new to any of you, but it is a court order that requires a party to do or refrain from doing certain acts. If a party fails to comply with such an order, he or she faces criminal or civil penalties. So why should you get a restraining order? The need for a restraining order comes up in family law cases, often on separation when there have been past incidents or threats of domestic assault, whether verbal or physical. A restraining order has two main purposes. The first is the obvious one, to help protect you and or your children. And the second is to help create a safe space for negotiations during the separation proceedings. In situations of domestic assault, there is a big power imbalance, with one party feeling vulnerable to the other. A restraining order can help even the playing field and help both parties get to a fair agreement. While a separation agreement can, in theory, provide for the same protections, only a restraining order is enforceable by the police, so it is a faster way of ensuring your safety. If you feel you need a restraining order, how can you get one? In the family law context, you can get a restraining order under the Family Law Act or the Children's Law Reform Act. Under the Family Law Act, you can get an order regarding conduct under Section 13.1, which is a no-contact order, but not quite a full restraining order. Under Section 46, you can get a restraining order against a spouse, a former spouse, or a person other than a spouse if you have cohabited for any period of time. if you have a reasonable reason to fear for your safety and or the safety of a child in your custody. Under the Children's Law Reform Act, Section 35 lets the court grant a restraining order against any person if, again, if there is a threat of safety against you and or a child in your custody. It's the same under both the Family Law Act and the Children's Law Reform Act, except for that the Children's Law Reform Act allows you to get a restraining order against any person, while the Family Law Act is an ex-spouse or ex-cohabiting partner. I hate my ex. Can I get a restraining order? No. You need reasonable grounds to fear for your safety or the safety of your children. Some examples where the court found reasonable grounds are where the husband made emotional outbursts and verbal threats towards the wife, where the husband abused the wife physically and emotionally throughout the marriage. He had an alcohol problem, and he threatened to kill the wife if she left, where the husband was convicted of assaulting the wife and a breach of his probation order in the previous year, where the husband was writing letters to the wife, following her, and telephoning her at work repeatedly. And under the Children's Law Reform Act, there was a case where there was no direct evidence of any serious harm, but the mother's fear for her and the children's safety was reasonable, given the father's relentless allegations against the mother, his actions in causing her to be committed for a mental examination, and his untreated mental health issues, his unpredictable behavior, and his refusal to abide by the terms of court orders. So if you have reasonable grounds to fear for your safety and or the safety of your children, what can your restraining order look like? Basically, it can look like anything that is reasonable to protect you and the children. You have to discuss all the safety risks with your lawyer because each situation can be different. Then your lawyer will draft an order that is in your best interest. For example, it can prohibit contact between the parties and restrain the person from coming within a certain distance of one or more locations. And then this could be your work, the children's school, location of the children's extracurricular activities, or really anywhere that your safety would be at risk. What happens if the restraining order is breached? The spouse may be required to enter into a recognizance or bond.
Violating a family law restraining order is also a criminal offense. A person who breaches a restraining order can be immediately arrested and held in jail, and can face a final sentence that also involves jail. Of course, that may be a less desirable option when it affects the perpetrator's employment, which could affect the ability to pay support. In those circumstances, it may be appropriate to treat the breach the same as any other breach of a civil court order and seek sanctions from the family court, if safety allows. Finances are another issue that affect how people deal with domestic violence, often because the victim has limited access to family finances or the victim is as frightened of financial insecurity as the abuse itself. Those victims frequently consider family mediation to keep costs down. That may not be a good solution. A good family lawyer can explain other options.
It's only in very limited situations where mediation is a good idea when there's domestic violence. There's lots of incidences where mediation has gone badly when there's domestic violence because even subtle cues that could happen during mediation can be the, if you don't agree to what I'm saying, I'm going to hurt you type of message between the lines under the table. And that can be made clear without anyone realizing it. So if you're going to do mediation, whether there has been domestic violence, you're really using a really senior, sensitive type mediator. The domestic violence is one of the occasions when if it's bad, it's ongoing, it's sort of controlling coercive violence instead of situational violence. So it's ongoing violence as a means of control where it's appropriate to go to court, even though people like to avoid court and ADR. But the idea of domestic violence going to court is because the judge is the guy who's in control then. And when there's that type attempt to be coercive and controlling, then the judge can be coercive and controlling and put someone in their place and let them know what the rules of the game are going to be, that they can no longer do that. There are some other options, but you really need to be careful with domestic violence that someone's not being manipulated in a subtle way. With regard to the issue about money, and that is a problem because often when people flee domestic violence relationships, they do it with very little money or without having much planning in advance to do it. And that can lead to some obvious financial troubles. There are a few organizations that help out women. There's some shelters can often get you, those people in touch with lawyers. The Barbara Schieffer Clinic helps as well with some of those women. And the question about coming up with a retainer for a lawyer, that is a difficult one. We, as lawyers, often ask if there's other family members or friends who can loan money or borrow money for the initial retainer. One thing that's often underlooked is the cost provisions under the family law rules allow costs to be paid in advance. And so what that means is if a party is likely to be getting costs or a settlement at the end of the day, the court does allow for advance of those to be paid in advance of the finalization of the case. So one thing we often do in our firm and for domestic violence situations is we often go to court early on in the case and ask for the court to order an advance payment of costs. So to have the person without the money, usually the person who is the victim, receive money from the other party who has the money, who is often the person who had control over the finances during the marriage. That's how domestic violence often works. To pay that money so that there can be a leveling of the playing field so that the parties can go through the court case together. And that's an option that victims of domestic violence should always talk about with the lawyer they see. And when they consult with a lawyer, they should always ask about the possibility of getting such an order to have, you know, some advance on the money they're going to get paid at the end of the day so the case can move forward.
Speaking to a family lawyer before leaving a spouse, whether in the circumstances of violence or not, is often a good idea. It allows you to plan your exit from the relationship that is safe physically and financially, and addresses the needs of the children, while avoiding the making of any mistakes that could lead to sanctions by a family court judge. There may be a lot of things to be afraid of at the end of a relationship, but seeing a lawyer is not one of them. This has been a domestic violence edition of the Ontario Family Law Podcast. Portion of this podcast recorded live at a seminar that included a discussion of domestic violence. My name is John Schumann. I am a family lawyer practicing in Toronto, Ontario. You can reach me by calling 416-446-5847 or at our website, which is www.devrylaw.ca. That's www.devrylaw.ca. Look on our website or on iTunes for many other podcasts in this series. We will talk again soon about other family law and children's rights issues. Thanks for listening.